Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are here to do something wonderful with your life? Do you feel that call deep inside you to bring your sacred healing gifts and transformational knowledge to the world around you? Do you want to feel inspired as you build your business doing your beautiful work? Do you want to learn how to build a successful spiritual business? Well then, you're invited to listen in to the Divinely Intuitive Business Radio Show, where we explore how fun and easy it can be to build a strong, abundant business while at the same time staying deeply connected to the divine using your intuition, your own sixth sense. Join the irreverent Reverend Ann Presswell as she and her guests explore the many ways you can build a deeply connected, authentic, powerful spiritual business making money without feeling like you've sold your soul. You are here to get your gifts out to the world in a powerful, abundant way, and your people are waiting for you. Let's help them find you. Now, here's your host, Reverend Ann Presswell.
Hello, 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 Divine Ones. It's so great to have you here with us today. I'm Reverend Ann Presswell, your host, and I'm here with Gail Nicholson today from Australia, which is really cool. We have a truly international group. I want to say hello to Elizabeth, my producer, before we get started. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello. Good afternoon and good night.
I know. Gail is at 2 a.m., you know, from Australia. My goodness. Eastern time. Of course, you know, we have listeners in from all over the world, so we know that, you know, everybody is at different time zones. What time is it where you are?
It's 6 p.m. here.
6 p.m. Okay. So in Spain. All right. All right, well, let's get started. We have a great call today. I'm really excited. This is interesting how last week and this week are really about self-care, about your body, about how to take care of yourself as you're building your business, which I think are very, very important topics. I want to say a blessing, so everyone just get a nice deep breath in. We are grateful, so grateful for every opportunity to explore new vistas, new opportunities to clear out all the blocks that get in the way from us bringing our gifts to the world, whatever that looks like, whether it's a technical malfunction, whether it is a miscommunication, whether it's our own inner blocks, whatever it is, we have the opportunity in all ways, always, to clear the way so that we can stand in a more powerful place. So that we can be the light that shines in the world around us. That's what we're called to do. That's what we are here to do. That's why we are given the work that we're given, and that's why we have it in our hearts to do. And when we have it in our hearts, we also have the way to make it happen. I'm going to pull an angel card for this particular show. All right. The card today is the Inspiring Message card. My message is powerful, and it is an inspiration for all who hear it. All right, I want to talk about Mercury retrograde. I don't know if others are experiencing this, but I am having a heck of a time. There's a lot of things going on, and Mercury retrograde, for those of you who are new to this whole concept, is the energies of Mercury retrograde, which is an astrological experience about four times a year, 3 to 4 times a year, where it occurs for about three weeks. And it is a time really for connecting within. It's a time for taking care of old things, filing things, getting organized, clearing up stuff, cleaning up, and you'll notice that things happen. If you've been putting things off for a while, you'll notice that technologically, a lot of times, you'll find that there are technical issues, there are communication issues, because the planet Mercury rules those particular arenas, if you will. So during retrograde, miscommunications can occur, more frequently. But we also are dealing with a full moon and a lunar eclipse. So we have extra energies at this time that are showing up for all of us. So intuitively speaking, what's going on in your work? What's going on in your life that needs to be paid attention to? Where do you need to be more gentle with yourself? Where do you need to follow your intuition? Where do you need to pay attention to those little things, if you will, the little corners of your life that maybe you haven't been dusting or cleaning out, and you now have an opportunity to, because guess what? You've got a spotlight on it. And it's like, oh, look at all those cobwebs, you know, or, oh, my goodness, take a look at all that crap that's over there built up. I've been, you know, piling stuff in that corner over there. Well, it's time to clean it up. Right, and that's what Mercury does. It gives you an opportunity to really start to share and shine and clean up all of those areas. So Elizabeth sent me a note. Get her to talk to check the sound quality. So, Gail, can you say hi and let's just see what we've got?
Hello, Anne and everybody.
Yay, it sounds good, right? So let me introduce Gail. She's a mind-body wellness coach and the creator and founder of Emerging Souls. I love that name. Today we're going to actually talk about self-care to prevent burnout as you grow your business. And I don't know about anybody else, but boy, self-care is like one of my, I call it radical self-care. It is so, so, so important, and especially when you've got so many things coming at you a lot. And sometimes we do, not always, but sometimes in our business when we're growing and expanding, when we're doing a launch, when we are, you know, we're expanding beyond what we know ourselves to be capable of, we find that we really do need to practice some serious radical self-care. So Gail has nearly 20 years of experience in complementary therapies and over 30 years in health promotion and education, which I think is just completely awesome. She recently retired from a career in Australian schools where she held the positions as teacher and project officer for drug education and mental health promotion. I love that. Deputy principal and head of the curriculum. That's really cool. So that means you've been out there like really preaching this stuff. She identified her true passion in supporting others and becoming their most awakened and authentic selves. And Gail really feels honored to be in service on other people's healing and self-awareness journeys. She studied with Master Healer and best-selling author Deborah King, medical intuitive Dr. Mona Lisa Schultz, angel practitioner leader Doreen Virtue, with whom I've studied, and psychic medium Tony Stockwell. She's going to be talking about how to put your self-care first, and you know, and why, you know, because so many times we're just like, well, we put everybody else first, or everybody else's needs come first. And this is about helping you become more balanced and more grounded in your business. Because the more grounded you are, the more successful, frankly, you are. You really, really are. You have to have those roots and have your feet planted firmly in the ground. So welcome, Gail. I want to say I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for taking this time. I know it's 2 a.m. in the morning for you. My goodness. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne. It's my pleasure to be here, too. And I'm sure I'll be able to go back to sleep after this before a day at work, so that's not a problem, because I've gone to bed early this evening in looking after my own self-care, looking out for myself. So, we all know that sleep is very important.
It's essential, is it not? Wow.
Absolutely, just so that we can be bright and awake, and it just helps with so many things, our metabolism, our ability to think straight, our whole being operates best when we've had enough rest and recuperation, doesn't it? Just our brain, everything, yes.
Absolutely, metabolism. Yeah, when I don't have enough sleep, it's not much fun to be around me either.
And then
one or two days, but boy, after that, it's like, yeah, you don't want to. it's not good. So tell me, how did you become a mind-body wellness coach? Like, what inspired you to become?
When I think back, I think, since I can remember, at least from my late teens, I've always been interested in health and well-being. I guess it started with having a problem that I hadn't identified at the time. I was a real yo-yo dieter. You know, I had listened to my mum being on all sorts of diets as I was growing up. And I was actually bullied and teased at school for being chubby. When I look back at photos now, I wasn't, you know, extremely, but, you know, what kids are like. They can, and I've come across this in the school ground myself. I'm very protective of children being bullied that way now. But that led me to investigating about nutrition. So nutrition became my first area of interest. But unfortunately, after a time on a working holiday in Europe, when I actually was doing a lot of comfort eating and put on a lot of weight, when I lost it, I actually ended up becoming bulimic because of a lot of reasons growing up, which I was able to reflect back on, just those insecurities, being bullied there and a little bit at home. So after that experience with bulimia, I became even more and more interested in people, in psychology as well, you know, the psyche that sits behind health promotion. And when I upgraded in my education studies, instead of doing a Bachelor of Education, I chose to take on a graduate diploma in health promotion. And that led me to a lot of those positions that you just mentioned a moment ago, which I considered a gift from the divine, because they were such good opportunity to be able to help others, help teachers, and thereby helping children with their own health and well-being. Working in the drug education field, I ran a lot of workshops on personal development, and in that time, of course, advanced in my own area of personal development. So it was, you know, I won't use that term. That was dealing with two issues at once, my personal development whilst I was helping others. And so that ended up making me very, very curious about alternative areas as well. And about 20 years ago, this is when my studies of energy medicine started. I became curious about Reiki, became qualified there, and just used that in my own time and with family and friends. Until about 6 years ago, when I turned 50, it suddenly dawned on me that there was something else. You know how Dr. Wayne Dyer says, "Don't die with the music still in you." Well, it became obvious to me there was still something else that I had to bring to life, and I had to go deep within, do a lot of inner searching and find what it really was. And then I realized this area of interest in health promotion, I needed to make more of an impact in my life and hopefully on others' lives. So I stepped back to part-time work and took on some studies of mind-body medicine. That ended up impacting my marriage. My then husband didn't feel like he understood what I was doing, and it didn't align with him. So our marriage ended, but I decided I wasn't allowing that. I needed to be true to myself. I wasn't going to let that issue pull me away from it. And in that time, I came across Deborah King through Hay House Radio. And I haven't looked back with studying with her. That's been over 3 years now. And so a few years ago when I was able to take early retirement, or 2 years ago, I decided to take that huge leap of faith and open up a business of offering these services of energy healing to other people. And in that time, I added in qualifications as an angel intuitive, a theta healer, and life force coaching. So here I am today with this business helping emerging souls came about from feeling like, well, what is it that I want to help people with? And it's to bring out their true selves through coaching and energy healing, so that they too can realize their real potential. So that's it in a nutshell.
Oh, that's pretty great. So there are a couple of things that you mentioned that I really wanted to highlight on, and that was sort of the divine initiation that you received both as a child, but also watching your mother go through her own issues with her relationship with food and her body and health and her image and all of that, but also then going through your own bulimic experience and healing that, you know, your fascination and interest in nutrition and all of that, how that led you down this road. I think that most of us have our own divine initiations, which bring us to our divine work. If we just listen to what those initiations are, and when we're in that sort of dark night of the soul period, trust that we'll find our way out, number one. Number two, the way out is often where we end up doing our best work in our lives with people, what brings us to our divine business, that beautiful purpose that we're led to. And whether or not, actually, I don't want to say divine business is the only way, but we are the Divinely Intuitive Business Show, right? So let's talk about it from that perspective. I know that you had years and years of beautiful work with, you know, with your country and with the school system and with the education, and how I mean, that's so powerful as well. It's just so powerful. But then the second piece that I thought was really telling is this experience that you had with your husband and how you had to make a choice about moving forward with the calling that you felt, even whether or not he was in alignment with it. And that must have been a very difficult choice.
It really was, Anne. However, I just knew, I guess, it was my guides telling me this is what you truly have to do, because, you know, there were comments made to me that I was being disloyal, you know, breaking our vows, choosing this over him. However, when I looked at it, I felt, well, I'm not being truly accepted for who I am, who my true being is.
Right.
And so in a way, I felt, you know, his vows weren't being upheld there either, and I wasn't being loved unconditionally with my interests. So, you know, it was an interesting time, and I've, you know, of course, been able to let that go now and process all of that. But it was a deep calling from the soul, and I didn't feel like it was necessary to make a choice in my mind. You know, we could have both, because if only we could see that in our loved ones, you know, instead of feel the fear, if we could see that this is going to make them an even happier, more rounded person if we allow them to follow their true path about what it is that their calling is. And
well, I even say not just allowing, but supporting it. You know,
yes.
I mean, I think it takes a tremendous amount of courage to support someone in following their true path, because sometimes it's like, wait a minute, that's not what I wanted, and that's not, you know, you're changing things. Wait a minute, what? And if there are issues of security and, you know,
yes,
like solidity, I guess is the word I'm looking for, get called into question, that can get, you know, very, like, root chakra gets all charged up. you're leaving this,
yes,
you know, environment, and you're going out into the, who knows, the great unknown. That can get really scary, yeah.
And I was experiencing a lot of back pain, so, you know, the mind-body connection was well and truly alive.
Yeah.
Because yeah, I felt my structure, my security was being taken out from under me. And yes, I went through I had to go through a lot of treatment for the physical aspect of my back there, and I wasn't feeling very grounded at all. But that's been a huge learning curve for me, and one that I can now apply to helping other people.
Bingo.
Sorry,
bingo. You know, like, you, when you go through, again, yet another divine initiation, right? Now you know how to help others who are going through that. So
absolutely,
you know,
because
it's so powerful.
Right. Oh, it is. And I believe we make better coaches and better healers by, you know, when we are like the wounded healer, you know, not saying it's absolutely essential that someone be that. But it certainly helps build compassion. I believe all of my life experiences led me here, and that's what really adds to our ability to be able to empathize with other people and really sense what's happening for them.
Yeah, it's true. I think that's, you know, it cracks your heart open in a whole new way. So yes. tell me why you think spiritual entrepreneurs forget to take care of their key business asset, their bodies, themselves, their mind, right, their spirit. Why do you think they forget to do that?
Well, I really think it's because of the big hearts. As you're saying, hearts get cracked open, and people in the service industry, whether it be healers, coaches, or working at a gym, wherever, people get so passionate about wanting to be of service to other people and supporting them that they just keep giving and giving and giving, and sometimes just lose sight of what's going on for themselves because they get so enthusiastic and so passionate. And I know that has been an issue for me in my work, that I was working nights and weekends in the education field as well for quite some time, and that was actually impacted on a previous relationship to my marriage, that ended up breaking up. He actually had affairs, so I've had that experience as well, because I just wasn't available. So we can too easily lose sight of what's going on in our own life because we get so wrapped up in everyone else's that we're trying to be of service to, I feel.
Give an example of how someone would see that. For example, we all can get it, like when we're in pain, right? And then like, oh, I better pay attention to this. But a lot of times, one of the most important things to do is to. I heard this recently from one of these. I can't remember his name. Shoot. Virgin, the Virgin Group. The guy. Can't remember.
Richard Branson.
Yes, Richard Branson. Someone had done an interview with him, and one of the things that he said that he does is he handles the little things before they become big things, right? So this is what I'm talking about. So how would someone recognize that it's a little thing and that they can handle it, that they're starting to pay too much attention to other people and other things and not enough attention to themselves? Like, in other words, that's where it's starting to get out of balance. What? Mm-hmm. How would they recognize? What would be a good
right? Well, what I would say, and I know this was covered last week with your guest. I had a listen to that. It was an excellent show, too, about overwhelm. I think we need to listen to the stressors on our body and our mind because, really, we are very multidimensional beings. We need to care for our social, emotional, spiritual, physical, and cognitive well-being. So we need to listen to the signs, if we are seeing signs of stress before they become signs of burnout and overwhelm. So such as, not getting enough sleep, like we mentioned before, and there's a number of ways, that we can ensure that we follow certain routines there. We can start to feel like, we're just not having a social life, we're missing out, we're feeling lonely, that everyone else is having a good time out there, and we're always in the office at the computer or whatever it is that we're working on. Arguments start happening in the relationships that we do have. We can be experiencing a lot of frustration in our life.
Okay, hold on. This is really important. So for me, what I'm hearing is when you start feeling sorry for yourself, when you start feeling like a victim, when you start getting the "oh, poor me" conversation going on in your head, that is a warning sign. Because when you do feel overwhelmed, guess what? You're feeling victimized. When you feel, when you start having fights with your significant other, you're feeling victimized. You're feeling sorry for yourself. You're not paying attention to me. You're not doing enough for me. You're not whatever. Fill in the blank. So to me, that would be like the number one sign, is that "oh, poor me" conversation that starts up. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's in those times that we can get out of touch with our intuition.
Oh, absolutely.
We lose our connection with the divine. And
yes,
it's so important that we take ourselves back to helping the divine, allowing the divine to take the lead in our lives, listening to the signs, our intuition, our angels, our guides, whatever it is that we believe in and that we follow as a ritual. Because once you become numb to those signs, yeah, you're really out there on your own and things can feel overwhelming and become overwhelming. So it's so important for us to go back to our practice of meditation, our prayer practice, whatever it is, and that's what's true for me. It would just be because people might become too busy, you know, and say they don't have time for their meditation to connect to the divine or the creator, whatever it is people feel. But that can be instantly calming and, opens up those channels again. And that's so important to keep that so that, you know, we do operate as a divine practice and follow, you know, have a schedule. I think the number one biggest or the most successful strategy for anyone is to have a daily and a weekly schedule or timetable to follow. But what I was going to also mention...
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I'm just going to have to go,
Please,
like,
do.
I'm hearing you, and that just, like, for me is an instant, like, ugh. I have...
Oh, okay.
So let's talk about that because, boy, you just hit on something. I want to hear about this because, or maybe you can define what you mean by schedule because, you know, I have a flow, but I don't have, and I have things scheduled, yes, and I have days that I do certain things and all of that, but there's a flow to it, and I have, so you could call it a schedule, but it, for me, it's more of a flow. So tell me what you mean by schedule, because I went into, like, whoa, put on the brakes, baby.
Okay. Well, thank you for mentioning that. Yeah, because there are mixed opinions on that. I don't actually do what some people recommended to me, you know, from the left brain field. I don't actually fill it out like a school's, you know, daily timetable. But I believe we need to have a set time, a set routine for our day. Well, I follow Ayurveda practices quite largely, and for me, I'm very vata. I get very scattered, and I know a lot of other people who do the same if I don't have a set routine. And so what has helped me get on track is that I know exactly what I do as soon as I wake up. Well, I usually do a short meditation. I do my longer meditation at night. But it's important for me to just to get up and get going. I have a gym practice, you know, a gym routine, I should say. So I make sure that if I just get up and go and without any second thoughts about that. And then I make sure, even if I'm working from home, after a good healthy breakfast, I will actually dress as if I'm going to the office. I feel it's important to set ourselves up in that feel of being of service to people, even if I'm not going to be out in the public. It just for me, help set the tone for the day. And I also then write my intentions for the day. I just feel that that helps us get a clear mind about what it is we're wanting to achieve. If you haven't written the intentions the evening before to have ready, it's important to write them once you've done your morning routine of gym exercise, healthy breakfast, prayer, whatever it is that you do to connect with your divine connections. And then move on to checking emails, you know, that comes after all of that other important readiness for the day. And then make sure that the Facebook and emails are actually put to the side. You know, I try to only check them, you know, every couple of hours rather than constantly because that can really sidetrack us from our purpose. Does that clarify that for you, Anne, how I mean a routine, a daily and a weekly schedule? You know, have certain activities that you do on certain days and a certain routine to get your day started.
It does. It does. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Because with the Ayurvedic approach, which is a very proven, over 5,000-year-old approach from India, and I follow that in my lifestyle as well as my dietary practices, but also, well, with lifestyle, of making sure that I keep my doshas, as they're called, the three doshas, vata, pitta, kapha, that I'm vata and pitta, that I need to keep those in balance. Otherwise, that's when I get into overwhelm or stress starts creeping in. So I get to know the signs with those, and just knowing the practices of what then helps balance me. You know, each season is different depending on the temperatures, the type of climate that we're experiencing at the time, and then the different foods that are actually in season. I believe in following a seasonal diet, eating locally grown foods wherever possible, and where possible organic. They can become more costly, so I tend to seek out farmers markets. They're not as expensive as organic produce. And follow that, because the energy that you get from the seasonal foods, especially that are grown locally, really impact on the energy that we're able to output in our work. And just going back to that gym routine, I only recently readopted that into my life, and that actually has helped support any of the back issues that still hang on for me too. However, I had the advice, which I have found to be totally true, that by getting that energy flowing, and, you know, it can be that someone just goes for a morning walk or a bicycle ride, whatever it is that they prefer. But getting that energy flowing in your body really gets the energy flowing in your day. And why I actually prefer the gym work, having a gym program, is that that whole system of resistance, you know, where you're actually pushing weights against your body and strengthening your body, that actually strengthens your inner resolve at the same time.
No, that's nice. So let's talk about the areas that an entrepreneur needs to balance. That you feel that, you know, you had said that there are four areas that they need to balance. What would you say those are?
Well, for me, there's actually quite a few areas in our life. But yes, if we're looking at balancing our business life with family, social, and community, because it's very important. Not only that we have a sense of purpose, and that can be our business, but we need to have a really healthy, strong sense of belonging. So if we don't have those connections with family and friends, and even other business associates, you know, through networking, going to business network meetings, we need to have that sense of belonging, but then also dealing with our own business aspects for our safety and security. We need to make sure that, you know, we have the money flowing in and out, and that we have a structure to our business, and that we actually incorporate ways of releasing stress if it starts to build up. And so we need to have some fun. We need to have downtime. We need to factor in time for us to have quiet time alone, as well as time with the people that we really love being with.
And how would
contributing to our community. And that can be through some kind of voluntary process. The centre that I work at, the Natural Therapy Centre locally, where I work at one day a week at this stage, we're connected to the local Uniting Church. And so we are making a partnership there to be able to offer our services to people in need through the church. So there's the community aspect as well.
There's a lot of what I'm hearing here is, it feels like a lot of shoulds, and there's...
Did I say should? I'm terribly sorry.
No, you didn't say should. This is probably my interpretation and my hearing, but I'm not the only one, I'm sure, who's listening to this and feeling the same way, like, oh, my God, how can I even begin to do all of that? Because I'm busy with XYZ. So this for me is where values come in. What are the most important values that you have? What are the things that you value the most in your business? And how do you structure your business to support those values?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And yes, I'm sorry if I've given that impression of shoulds, because I love that saying, never should on yourself and never should on anyone else. So I'm actually always quite mindful of that, because that can put a unnecessary pressure on all of us. I guess I'm just talking from what has worked for me, and what I went with clients that I work with is helpful for them. And what you say about values is great. I really like the health can that Dr. Lisa Rankin has developed, if you know of her wonderful book, Mind Over Medicine, you know, Scientific Proof That We Can Heal Ourselves, she promotes this health can, which, you know, how you see the piles of rocks in places around where, you know, people pile up those little rocks that balance on each other and they make like a little tower of rocks. She allocates, has a great diagram where she allocates a different rock to a different area or value in our life. Like we value our spirituality, our relationships, our work-life purpose, our creativity aspect, and it's essential that we incorporate creativity into our day, our own sexuality, our environment, valuing our environment, our own mental health and physical health. And if any of those rocks are pulled out, that's where our balance goes. You know, if we don't fully serve each of those areas or values in our life so that we keep a balance. I really like her approach with that.
Elizabeth has a question. Moment, Gail. Elizabeth has a question for you. Elizabeth?
Yeah, actually, Anne, I have a question for you. Because Gail's talked about how she structures her day. Okay, so it's starting with a good regular morning routine that sets herself up for the day. You kind of had a strong reaction to against, you know, like a kind of timetable thing. So I'm interested, actually, Anne, because I know you are very good at self-care. Like you've just said, radical self-care. How do you actually structure things?
Perhaps. Well, I don't have what
you hold.
My world.
So much space.
Yeah. Yeah. I start my day in the morning with. We have a unique situation in our home right now, where I have two older kitties that I'm doing a lot of care for. So the first thing in the morning for me is about taking care of the night messes, or, you know, there's cleanup. And usually that's about 45 minutes in the morning. So for me, it's my self-care is caring for them. And then I will go to the pool when I have time, which is probably 4 days a week, which is my morning meditation. It's a swim, and it's a breathing and a rhythmic movement and swimming. I come back, shower, I've got coffee because coffee is important to me. I don't care what anybody says, so don't give me any conversation with coffee because I will drink coffee and that's my thing. So we juice regularly. I tackle email because for me, my business and the things that I'm doing, my client care, again, those are very important things for me. So I'm managing that. I have a little bit of connection with either my accountability partner, where we set up our intention and speak our intentions for the day, or alternatively, I might go onto Facebook and connect there. So I have connections. My client and I then do work, whatever the work is. So my morning is all about that in a flow, but not a structured flow, other than I want to get to the pool before it gets too. The sun is up too high in the sky, because once the sun is high in the sky, I don't go, because I don't want to deal with too much sun, because I am in South Florida in the tropics. So for me, that's my structure, but my structure is loose. It's not tight. And I don't mean to suggest, Gail, that yours is tight. I'm just saying that mine is, because that's what works for me. Takasha, who was on the call, you know, talking about systems, she said to me, you would die if you saw my schedule, because for her, she likes to have things very organized. She's a, you know, she's engineer and she keeps things in order. But me, I'm way more loosey-goosey about that. I like space and I like to feel as though I can flow into one thing and one thing moves into another. That's my rhythm and that's what works for me. And I've built a really great business doing that. You know, I've got a great team that helps me keep that structure in place. But I do my business, my work, that in a way that works for me. And then I start to see clients from 1 o'clock on in the afternoon, and I'll have conversations with people from that time. So that's, you know, that. And then when my husband comes home at night, 7, 8 o'clock, he's a professor, so he, who knows, you know, depending on what's going on in school, if he's in classes, it's usually later. So once he's home, that's it. I'm off the phone. I'm off the computer. I'm off, you know, business. I'm with him. That's our time together. And then I might go back and do, once he goes to bed, I might go do some, a little bit more work or something, I don't know, depending on what's going on in my business. But that's my flow, and that's my structure. And that works for me.
I think that's wonderful. That sounds excellent.
Because that way I get all
can
of those.
Can I ask another question?
Hit. What?
Can I ask another question?
Absolutely.
How many hours do you think you work? I mean, what do you what, think?
I honestly have no idea. I don't pay attention to that.
Really?
Sometimes I might work more and sometimes I might work less. I mean, it depends. If I've got a launch going on, I'm working more. If I don't have a launch going on, I'm working less. If I have a class going on, I'm working more because I'm teaching the class and I'm preparing the handouts and I'm making sure that, you know, all of those details are handled. If I'm, you know, right now it's a little bit more relaxed, but I'm getting ready to go into a launch in about another month and then we'll be, you know, more intense and then it's going to be probably intense through February. So I'm enjoying the relaxing time and organizing opportunity of Mercury retrograde right now. So I'm just going to enjoy it, you know. Yeah. Oh, I honestly don't know. I don't have any idea of how many hours I work. I don't pay attention to it. I don't count that.
That's wonderful. I love your routine. In fact, it sounds very similar to what I do. So I feel like, you know, we're fairly aligned there. You know, get up and get the body moving, eat well and check your emails and then move into whatever it is needs to be done. For me, I just feel like having some clear intentions for each day. I write a lot of to-do lists, but I prefer to consider them as intentions because then you're putting that message out to the universe about what it is you intend or aim to achieve for that day.
Right.
And then evaluate that for the next day.
I definitely have to-do lists too, but I view them as sort of like the overall, you're right, it is an intention. And it's not I don't have it like I have to get these done. Because I know I'll get them done. It's funny because once they go on the list, they will get done.
Maybe
not today and not, you know, sometimes this week. You know what I mean? It's like, we get them. So it's interesting.
And I really like, have you heard of Abraham Hicks's placemat process? I teach that to a lot of people if they get into overwhelm with how much they need to achieve or feel that they need to achieve. That is a system of...
Well, because I'm sure there are listeners on here who haven't heard it.
Right. Well, the placemat process I really love. It was channeled, you know, to Esther Hicks from Abraham, where you take a large piece of paper. It actually started with her in a cafe, so it was a placemat, and rule into two columns. And on the left-hand column, write down the absolute non-negotiable tasks that need to be done today or immediately, you know, fairly immediately, and write them on the left. And on the right, everything else from your combined to-do lists or in your mind about what needs to be done over a period of time eventually, write them all on the right, but put the heading there for the divine or whatever wording works, you know, for you. And then you work away at the left-hand column to achieve them for the day, giving the rest away to the divine to be handled. And it's amazing how they can just be handled by your guides, your angels. People come into your life who are taking those tasks from you. You might just out of the blue get a phone call from someone you had been thinking you needed to contact for a certain job to be achieved. Whatever, it's just putting it out there to your angels, your guides, to the divine generally, just helps them magically be dealt with in some way over the next day, week, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so each day, if you review that as necessary or each few days, really look at what you can handle and essentially need to work on in that short period of time.
It's really
and, yes.
Many times I'll write down on my to-do list, call so-and-so, and then they call. You
yeah.
know, I don't necessarily just say, oh, I turn this over to you. Which is very intentional, like what you're talking about. And I like that. I write it down, and then just by setting the intention, it shows up mm-hmm. where it happens, which is
great.
So let me ask you. I know that you talk about self-care, and many of our entrepreneurs are really watching their budget, you know, because there are a lot of areas that you can put yourself, you can invest your time and money as you build a business. So how could some entrepreneurs really master their self-care, you know, on a budget? How would you suggest do that?
Right. Well, I believe there are a lot of ways, and I've been using a lot of those as I start my business myself in the last 18 months. Well, the number one important practice that you mentioned earlier was grounding. You know, we need to incorporate that to start each of our days as well, and so that we feel like we can focus, that we can be clear-minded. So each day we need to just incorporate, you know, even 10 minutes just out in the sunshine, walking barefoot on grass, having a little bit of time in nature. So, you know, you don't need to join a gym, which is a cost for your exercise time in nature or down in the local park. Just going for a walk each morning. Some places have free public pools too. I know there's a pool here that I can go to that's free of charge, a city beach it's called, and that saves that kind of cost. I think it's important to keep our energy field clear as well for our grounding and our clear thinking. And so just having ourselves a sea salt bath, that doesn't need to be very expensive. Mm-hmm. You need to, you know, just add, say, a pound of sea salt and a pound of baking soda. And that just can clear any negativity that's built up in our body, in our energy field, rather than that then sit and go into our cells and create issues for us, stress issues. If we need to have some time out, beg your pardon?
Can you say that again about the pound of sea salt and a pound of baking soda in your bath?
Yes, in a warm bath and soak in that for about 20 minutes.
Okay.
And then rinse that off.
And does what?
Beg your pardon, Anne?
Does what? What does that do? It pulls the...
Oh, it clears our energy field from... Well, especially if we've been sitting at a computer around a lot of electronics, it clears the the EMF, electromagnetic field, you know, that might have stuck with us. Or if we've been in a negative environment, we've been out at a network meeting, a shopping center where there's lots of other people's energy around us, or if we've, for whatever reason, felt any negative energy coming towards us in a conversation with anyone, that can just really help clear our body, our energy field, and our mind for the work that we need to do.
Got it.
But if you don't have a bath, you know, just even 10 minutes out in some sunshine or walking barefoot on the grass to help ground us, you know, can just really help as well. But meditation is very, very, very important. I have a daily practice of that, as you were saying you do. And that can just help calm any stress and help us to think clearly too, because, again, we need to be able to focus and really have a clear mind, you know, working on our tasks as well as when we're working with clients. But one other thing, a lot of people in business talk about network meetings and or joining in a mastermind group. Well, one thing that I've taken up that costs no money is having my own, like a business best friend. Another lady and I, she's a startup business as well. In fact, we were both in the same career in education. We've retired early. We have formed our own agreement where we get in touch with each other every now and then. We'll either talk on the phone or meet up at a cafe and keep each other on task with what it is we set intentions for our business. And we help each other problem solve wherever necessary. Because I have heard of some local mastermind groups here, but they cost hundreds and hundreds of dollars to be a part of over, you know, a 6-9 month period. Whereas working with this other lady in our own little mastermind agreement really helps us stay focused, stay on task with our business. And any skills that she has that I don't have, like in IT, you know, in computers, she helps me with, and then I help her with areas that I'm skilled in that she isn't. I think that's crucial in our business, you know, so that we don't feel so isolated, especially people who are solo business owners, solo traders. But another...
Sorry, we're going to have to come to a close. We're running out of time. Sorry.
So, Gail, you have something as a gift for our listeners?
Yes, yes. I was going to offer that if people, you know, take on having an initial consultation with me, I'd be very happy to offer them a free Oracle card reading or other half-hour service.
And how can they get that?
Well, they can email me or come to my website, which is emergingsouls.com.au. The AU is for Australia, so don't leave that off. And there's a contact box there, so anyone around the world can make contact with me there.
Okay, perfect. And they would need to mention that they were coming from the Blog Talk Radio show. We will
That
everyone on our Facebook page and in the Facebook event, as well as on the Blog Talk Radio page under Gail's information. Gail, thank you so much for being here today. We're really grateful. It was fabulous information. Everyone, you know, self-care is so important. And understanding how to manage your energy so that you can get your gifts out into the world is an essential part of building your divine business. I want to just say a blessing. We are here, each one of us, to get our gifts into the world, to follow our divine calling, to follow that which we have been guided to do. It is in our hearts. And the way to do it is also there. It cannot be otherwise. Trust yourself. Connect with the divine. Stay in deep connection with the divine. Self-care is one of the best ways to stay in connection with the divine, because when you are not in care, in self-care, you cannot hear what the divine is trying to tell you to do, to guide you to do, so that you can do what it is you've come to do. Go now, share your gifts with the world, be that light, shine it brightly. Take care of yourself, stay connected with the divine, stay connected with one another. Go get your divine on, everyone. We'll see you next week. Thank you so much for being here. Bye.
This episode of the Divinely Intuitive Business Show has been sponsored by the Divine Business Club, the only place where divine intuitives like you can get proven business building advice on how to get your sacred gifts out into the world and make the impact and the money that you want to make for less than $1 a day. For more information, go to www.divinebusinessclub.com.